afternoon. This is Mike Vandervoort. It's Thursday, April 2nd, day after the day where everybody tells big fibs and lies. And so today we have a not a big fibber and liar as our guest. We're drive through HR. We're going to have Tim Baker, who comes to us all the way from the exotic and strange land of Canada. How are you, Tim?
I'm fantastic, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I have a couple Canadian questions to open. And is it still snowing in Toronto?
It is not snowing in Toronto. Almost all the snow is gone, except little nooks and crannies. It's actually quite nice today for a change. Got outside, did a little bit of yard work, but we've got some high winds of rain coming later, so we can't have everything, I guess.
All right. Well, but no snow, high winds and rain, a welcome spring change for our Canadian listeners. Awesome. And Tim, Canada, been there many times, love the country, big hockey fan, former hockey player. I know you're a huge hockey player. Your son's a goalie for the Markham Waxers?
Yeah, he is. He's just turned 10 years old. He's a goalie for the single A team for the Markham Waxers. And he is learning lots of life lessons through being a goalie, being a hockey goalie. It's a very lonely position.
It's not really part of teamwork, and it's an entirely different kind of athletics and body mechanics. I played goalie once and said I'll never do that again. So, Tim, you know, hockey is – Canada's kind of the birthplace of hockey, and I know you're a huge Maple Leafs fan. How is it that that team has struggled so much? I won't get too much on it. Why so much problems?
Maybe it's because of me. Maybe I shouldn't be a fan anymore. Maybe it's my fault. You know, I don't know. Well, I do. I think that is probably a 2.5-hour show on its own. I think there's just organizationally so many things wrong, and leadership. I think it just really comes down to leadership, and that's both on the team and in the organization. I mean, I'm not gonna pretend to know the answers. I remember as a very young kid when the last time they were really good was probably before I was born. But I remember asking my dad on a Saturday night, gee, Dad, and he's sitting with my grandfather and they're ready to watch Hockey Night in Canada Saturday night. I said, why do you like the Leafs so much? And if they could have paused the TV back then, they would have. Because then they went into like a 10-minute explanation as to why they like the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I have ever since. I'm sort of a hometown team kind of guy. And that's who I cheer for. And through better and through worse. Mostly
well, maybe one of these days we'll do an HR Puckheads week here on Drive Through HR. We'll get some of our other guys, Josh Rock and Jay Coons, and some of the John Jorgensen, some of those other guys, and we'll talk rivalries. But probably people want to hear more about HR than they do about hockey, even though we could go on easily for the whole half hour. So Tim, tell us what you do right now and how you got into HR.
Currently, I'm an HR consultant, my own business, which I've just branded or named Tim Baker HR right now because I've used that as my branding as I've sort of come into the HR world. And I work mostly with small businesses, small to mid-size, in the really exciting area of compliance and are all our ducks in a row and everything like that. So that's my entry point to a lot of the small companies is really risk assessment. So where, you know, you're growing, what do you have in place to build a great HR foundation and employment foundation so that you can grow and you know, be a great business? And, you know, that's usually the entry point. And then we can get into, you know, a lot of other things where I can start, you know, leveraging my past professional experience and perspectives. And one of the particular areas which I'm working with a client right now is U.S. company that has – or a U.S. guy who's opened a company in Ontario but has no idea what's going on here and doesn't really want to because he's running the business and needs somebody to know what's going on. And so, you know, that perspective of what do you need? You know, this is how you have to terminate someone. You've got to pay them this much and yada, yada. So it's the what do you need to know kind of thing. So I'm kind of focusing a little bit on that right now. And how I came to be in HR is, that's a longer story too, but I spent most of my professional career so far up until a few years ago, was in the operations management side of the hospitality industry. Hotel, restaurants, movie theaters. And, you know, I started to see the common thread in everything that I was doing, and that was a lot of it was functionally related to HR, whether it be, really just around the talent management and how are we finding the talent and, how are we keeping them and are we giving them the best opportunities and how are we treating them? And and then I kind of made a bit of a winding career path change, and that was then working as an account manager for an employee assistance program provider. And that's when I got to meet a lot of HR professionals, got to know the profession, the diversity of it, and it solidified my thoughts that I would like to get into human resources formally. So I actually went back to school midlife and did all my HR education and certifications, and now I'm a certified human resources leader, as it's called in Ontario. So, and as soon as I got the letters, of course, I thought, gee, let's get the job offers rolling in. Let's just bring them on. And that wasn't really happening. So, I expected the knocks on my door. But that's when I really jumped into social media as a professional networking opportunity. And connected with some of the, well-known HR influencers here in around Toronto, being, like Pam Ross and Bunny Tischmeyer and Jeff Waldman, and then, start to build my networks, and then of course it spread into all other sorts of areas of the world. So, just being involved in the community and the conversations helped me to figure out what do I want to do. And then I went on to work for local municipality as an HR coordinator, worked with a small consulting firm, working with small businesses and cross-border employment, worked for a small startup company out of Germany for a little while, which William Tincup would know, you may know too, is small improvements, performance management software. Mm-hmm. And I worked with them for a while, which was a great experience. And after that, I kind of said, I've had enough people coming to me, friends of mine, for advice. And I said, I could be making some money from this. So that's kind of when I decided that's what I'm going to focus on is how can I work for myself and build a client, database of clients or relationships, or leverage the relationships I have to partner with these small business owners in what their needs might be. And slow start I took last year to spend a little bit more time actually at home with my kids. So my wife's job takes her around the world, and she's VP of her company and travels a lot. And we needed somebody sort of grounded at home for a little while. So at the same time, I was really trying to figure out what I wanted to do and how and for whom and when and that sort of thing. And when 2015 rolled around, I said, this is the year that I'm really going to focus on driving my business. And, that's kind of in a nutshell my history.
So you took sort of the long and winding road into HR with interesting, because it's working with a startup, an international startup, and with small business and nice varied background. One of the things you mentioned is having operational experience. And what I've found, even though I've not been in operations I've never really done operational work, worked in companies with retail operations and so forth. And what I find is in those service sector industries, a lot of the HR responsibility is pushed down to the operational level, decision making, day to day hiring, a lot of the things that HR people do in a traditional factory setting. Is that kind of what you found as well that drew you into this?
Oh, absolutely. I was for Cineplex Theaters, movie theaters here in Canada, which was at the time was Famous Players Theaters. I started as an operations manager for 4 or 5 years in one of our multiplex theaters here. And then actually became the general manager for the better part of a year or so, just before Cineplex purchased Famous Players and they did massive restructuring across the company, of which I was part of that restructuring. And I mean, there were a series of things that happened in my career that, you know, who knows where I would have been if I hadn't been restructured out and forced to make some, take a step back and look at things. So, but in those roles, it was, you know, we had our HR department at head office, which we would see or hear from once in a while. But other than that, we were in charge of all the hiring, how we did it, more or less. You know, all the performance management, all the payroll, all the everything from the terminations. And so it was functionally, I was doing all of that that an HR generalist would say. But
so you weren't just a HR department of one. You were a multiple. Beyond that, you had to make sure that the films were shown and people.
Oh, yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
It was a fantastic experience, really. And I've always loved, because I worked for Four Seasons Hotels for about 6 years as well. And the customer service side is just in my blood. Actually, I'm finding it's playing more and more of a role in what I'm doing now, not just from the HR perspective, but running my own business as far as client relationships and that sort of thing. That customer service, I think, is so important in the workplace, in whatever capacity you are, especially HR. And so, you know, I was doing everything from managing all the food service outlets, the film presentation, like all the movie projectors and so I knew everything, and I love that. You know, it was always busy, always on your feet, hundreds and hundreds of people coming in and out, customer concerns and staff concerns and everything, and it was a great exhaustion.
It keeps you on your toes. So before we get into the script questions, you kind of mentioned, you know, you had a client that a U.S.-based person coming into Canada had no clue how to do business in Canada. Can you highlight, healthcare, obviously Canadian healthcare and, you know, what's ACA or what people here sometimes call Obamacare works differently. We've moved a little bit closer to the Canadian model, but it's not very, you know, we're still not very similar. I think in Canada, you talked about having to pay separation, you know, severance pay required by law. Can you highlight for us some of the differences between Canadian HR practices and U.S. HR practices that some of our listeners may not delve into often?
Oh, where do I start? Let's see. I'm never the type of person to pretend to know about things that I don't. But so there are a lot of things that I became or that I learned about U.S. as far as employment and HR. And so one of the big things was when we were dealing with U.S. clients, when I worked with a small firm, was the idea that at-will employment, that if you were going to terminate somebody, and I don't know which states, and I know it's different. California is very progressive and some other states as well, but you can't just terminate, you can't just fire somebody.
Right.
You know, there's a process. There's with cause, which is really risky. I mean, if somebody was, running through the office naked and swearing and whatever, that's probably with cause.
This isn't
can just terminate the person, right?
Yeah, right.
But, you know, if you had, you know, for example, performance-related issues. So somebody's not performing up to the expectations. Okay, have you made sure that those expectations are very clear and documented and outlined? And have you put them through a progressive performance plan? Even then, you know, many employment lawyers will say it's just too risky. You need to give them the the legislator, the notice that's required by law in Ontario and most of the provinces, and they're all a little bit different, but they're pretty much the same, is you need to give them notice or pay in lieu of notice, and that's the minimum, you know, termination pay. Then you have to take in other factors like, how long have they been working for you? Has it been more than 5 years? Is your payroll over, I think it's $2 million or $5 million? They might be entitled to severance, but that's under common law. you know, and are they an older worker? Have they been working for you for 30 years and they're at a certain age? They may have trouble finding a job. Well, then that's going to, that's that common law part. That's where the employment lawyers get involved. It's tough, but you have to, it's cover your butt, really. And I'll tell pretty much every one of my clients, if somebody is no longer, you think, a good fit, whatever that means, maybe they're not performing, outside expectations, there's been multiple performance issues, then just let them go. Just set them free, but do it properly. You know, pay them what they're owed, do it properly, and you've done your due diligence as an employer. But it's, that's one of the big differences, the other being something like maternity leave or parental
yeah.
leave. You know, it's a, in Ontario, it's a year. All
mandated one year. Okay.
Yeah. It's there's a certain portion that's maternity, and then the rest of it is paternity. So the father really could take that time off, and you're entitled, and that's a job protected leave.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I still get a lot of, you know, U.S. clients to say, what, a year? Holy, how am I supposed to, you know,
paid,
run a business?
Pay for some of that portion?
The employer may, they would go on employment insurance, and then some employers may top that up. Some don't, or they don't have to.
It
all depends on, you
okay.
know, the company, so.
Okay, it's about 1:16, Tim. We have about 14, 15 minutes left. Let me do a quick reset. This
sure.
is Mike Vandervoort hosting Drive-Thru HR today. Our guest is Tim Baker. Tim is an HR consultant working with small business based in Ontario or in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And we've been talking hockey and a little bit of Canadian HR. Tim, couple of the questions that we ask every guest on Drive-Thru. One of them is, what keeps you or your clients up at night? You want to tell us what you worry about most?
Well, you know what? Nothing really keeps me up at night. I go to sleep pretty quickly. And I don't worry about things. I'm pretty easygoing. What I think about a lot is the small businesses where the owners are wearing a lot of hats. And they're trying to do a lot of things. They're trying to run their business. They're trying to employ people. They're trying to, you know, do their accounting. And one of the first things that I always see is they'll outsource their accounting and payroll. So that's easy. We'll just outsource that. That's easy. But I can handle the hiring and you know, all the HR stuff. We have an administrator. She can look up. She can Google how to do whatever. And then it gets to the point where they're calling and maybe they somehow through connections contact me and say, I think we did something wrong. It's like, yeah, kind of did. You probably could have saved yourself a lot of headache there. And it's the foresight to know that there are some things that I should have in place. I don't know exactly what they are. So I'm going to partner with somebody that knows, or a firm that knows if you're big enough and can afford it. But it really then comes down to the budget. So let's push all the HR and employment stuff down to the bottom of the priority list as far as budget goes. And I get that. It's a limited budget. So I always talk to clients and say, here's a like an a la carte menu. And I've listed everything from high risk to low risk. Here's really what you have to have now because somebody's going to come knocking at your door. And here's something that can wait until later. Because it doesn't need to be done right away, but it's sort of best practice, and I hate to use that phrase sometimes. But so that's kind of what is how, and that's sort of what keeps me up sometimes is how, or for my own business, how am I going to sell the idea that it's a good idea to partner with me, that you know, we're not talking, because as soon as you hear consultant, oh, the dollar signs start flashing in front of your face. I'm not inexpensive, but I'm not outrageously expensive. It doesn't really matter about that. It's about partnering with somebody that's a subject matter expert in that area. You outsourced your payroll, you did your accounting, whatever it might be. Maybe you should do the same. And maybe with recruiting as well. I'm not in the recruitment space, but I've seen so many companies have benefited from partnering with a very knowledgeable recruiter that has the finger on the pulse of the industry. And so that's maybe what keeps me up at night. That and the Toronto Maple Leafs, but we're not going to talk about that.
Actually, we're going to, but not just yet. No. Oh. So one of our other typical questions, or one of our other traditional questions, I guess, is what's top of, I mean, and sometimes I feel like I'm asking the same question twice, but they're really different. What's top of mind for you these days? What are you really focused on right now?
Well, for me right now, it's my business. So it's how am I communicating, presenting, or marketing my business, and how am I going to leverage my professional network to spread the word? You know, that's really top of mind for me professionally. That's really almost it. And the other is, what else can I be doing? The other part of what I do is a lot of volunteer work with our HR association. And so that as well. What else can we be doing to increase membership, to really value add? What are people really getting for the membership? What are we offering? How are we leveraging social media to have a better presence and all the professional development programs and things like that, and mentorship and that sort of thing. So that those things are really what's top of mind for me professionally and volunteer.
What is it HRPA, or am I getting up?
Yeah, the HRPA is Ontario. Ontario, it's by province.
HR personnel, human resources, what does that stand for? What's the acronym?
The Human Resources Professionals Association. It used to be of Ontario, but now it's just, yeah.
Yeah. There's a U.S.-based HRPA as well, which is mostly for chief human resources officers. And then there's Sherman. So there's several.
Right.
Okay. So you volunteer with them. What's your capacity? Are you an officer? Are you just a service volunteer for conferences or what?
Just volunteer. I volunteer with the mentoring program, so on the committee for the mentorship program. We do programs both for members, for graduates of a couple of the college and universities here, and a virtual mentoring program. So I'm also a mentor, so there's that. And now taking a bigger role in the communications area, specifically with the social media committee.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are the two areas, and I'm always, I can't spread myself too thin, so right now it's balancing those two and how much time I'm spending with each. But
plus being a hockey dad, the dad of a goalie, right?
Yeah, well, there's that, and a figure skating daughter who also horseback rides. And,
it's a full life. So you mentioned Beth and Bonnie and Pam, they're also all involved with the HRPA, right?
Yes, they are different chapters, but they are either members or have or are still volunteering and always contributing and doing things. Yeah, those people are, and I mentioned them first. There's quite a few others, but they're very involved people, and they're our core community around here. They're great people. We hang out whenever we can, and it's fantastic. Like they're just amazing people.
Yeah, somebody who I used to see a lot, and I know he's still around, but I don't see him as much anymore, is Jeff Webb. And I think he's working and involved as in some kind of maybe the mayor of Liberty City or something. But I've known Jeff for quite a long time. And, yeah, there's quite a lot of accomplished HR people in the Toronto area. I've never had a chance to get up there for anything related to human resources. I used to play ice hockey near the old Maple Leaf Gardens when I was – 14 years old, but it's been a long time since I've been to Toronto. You mentioned in the pre-show as we were getting ready that you have a couple of upcoming events. What have you got going in that regard that you'd like to tell us about?
Yeah, well, in the past I've sort of been involved with some events, just sort of helping out the background, with Jeff Wellman's Social HR Camp, for example, or Pam Ross's Impact 99. And now this year, and by the way, Pam's doing the Reinvent Work Summit on May 19th here in Toronto, and it's going to be fantastic. It always is. Pam does a great job. Her counterpart, Christine McLeod in Vancouver, also does a fantastic job as well. So there's that, but I'm actually this time now, myself, Jeff Waldman, and Kathleen Teixeira are putting on the Toronto version of Disrupt HR.
Oh, nice.
So we're doing that June 11th. I think the registration page just went up today. So we're going to start spreading the word later today. You know, I love watching. Jeff threw this idea out to me last fall. Said, hey, do you want to do something in the spring together with maybe somebody else? And this is another thing that's lately is I've been stepping outside of my comfort zone. And normally I might have said, yeah, I'd like to help out a bit. And I said, let's do this. And so we're doing Disrupt HR Toronto, which should be great. I'm really looking forward to it. It looks like just a really fun format. I haven't been to, you know, the ones in Cincinnati or
Cleveland.
No, I can't remember. Yeah.
Cleveland,
yeah, or
Denver.
Cleveland, right. But
yep.
I haven't been to any of them, but I've watched, I think, almost all the videos now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. So that's that we're looking forward to doing. And the other thing would be I'm taking a bit more involvement sort of with my time with an online publication called the HR Gazette, and which has about 140,000 distribution of HR professionals in the U.S. And, you know, that we're looking at different, myself and Bill Banham, who's the publisher, are looking at different ways we can, you know, deliver HR content and how, and maybe not necessarily a little bit differently, but, you know, what can we do? And I'm starting to take a little bit more of a role doing that as well. So it sounds like I'm doing a lot of things, but it's just kind of, well, I'm always doing a lot of things. So.
Well, you said you like that. You like that wearing many hats in one role.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like from your operational days, it sounds like you found a kind of a path to convert that into HR, but it, your own business and a lot of involvement in the HR community. And I tell you, Tim, so when did you get on social media? Was Twitter or Facebook your first platform? How did you make that?
It was Twitter, actually. I was on LinkedIn before that, but that's when I just thought it was sort of an online resume before
yeah.
I, you know, really. And then it was Twitter. I'm like, this Twitter thing sounds really cool. And I followed Bonnie, and then I followed a friend of mine that's still in the hospitality industry. And I just kind of went from there. And after that, it wasn't until actually just a few years ago, Facebook, and I really did that so I could connect with the same people I was connected to on Twitter, on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was, wow, I'm getting to know a little bit more about them personally through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of like the color commentator of
right.
social media.
The
thing.
Don Cherry of Twitter, right?
Yeah, like that fills in all the tidbits. So it's been great. And I probably live half my life in social media. It's I really enjoy it. I enjoy just being myself, just being funny, sharing really neat stuff, important stuff, you know, just having a good time with it. And now, you know, learning how to really leverage as far as my business goes. So.
Yeah. So we're down to the last 90 seconds. Are you an introvert by nature, Tim? Are you introvert or extrovert? I think you're probably introvert based on what I've observed.
You know, I don't know.
Middle of the road?
I don't think I actually want to find out. I think I'm kind of sort of on the border as
yeah.
far as what I've learned in the past. So,
I always introverted extrovert. Social media really opened up networking for me in a way that didn't work otherwise. Listen, we're down to the last minute. Tell people where they can find you on social media, and then I'm going to play some music and take us out. Thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, no problem. No, it was a great time. You can, you know, Twitter, it's Tim Baker HR. Look me up on LinkedIn, Tim Baker. What is Facebook, Tim Baker HR, same thing. My website, timbakerhr.com. It's basically Tim Baker HR everything. So you can find me. You'll find me.
All right. We're out. Thanks, Tim.
Great. Thanks, Michael.